Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. We're delighted to have you. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions, your comments, your dialogue and discussion. We're talking about today something that I think is very, very, very important for us to understand. We're calling it defying God. Defying God. You know, in Psalms 14:1, it says, the fool hath said in his heart, no God. The fool hath said in his heart, no God. Now, that can be interpreted, he said no to God, or he said there is no God. In either event, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we see taking place today with the Supreme Court. They're basically defying God, saying no God. They're saying no, regardless of what God's word says, it's no to God. God's word is being vilified, nullified, eviscerated, as though God's word does not exist. And I don't know about you, but I'm saddened to see it. I'm concerned about the future of America as we see the defying of God from the U.S. Supreme Court and how it's going to affect we the people, not only the days and weeks to come, but in the decades to come. What will it do to our nation? How will it redound to the destruction of America and its morals? You know, many years ago, we used to say, when we talk about legislators and legislating laws, we use the term that you cannot legislate morality. Well, we're watching the legislation of immorality through the fiat decisions of the U.S. Supreme Court. Ladies and gentlemen, as we make decisions to face the issues, let me encourage us to do so based on the authority of Scripture, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Jesus says to his disciples in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. Further, he makes a declarative statement in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to stick to the truth of the word of God, not what some law may say or the courts may say or some doctor Johnny come lately from the pulpit might say. But what does the word of God say? May I remind us, we have the responsibility. We're answerable to God. We're answerable individually, not collectively, though we are collectively responsible as a nation. But we're answerable individually for what we do with the word of God, how we respond to it. Are we willing to seek the truth and learn the truth? It was George Orwell many years ago that made the statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's what we see taking place today. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've not noticed that, it's the reason you find with the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter and the socialist, Marxist, communist mayors and governors and those in high places in the U.S. House of Representatives and otherwise that are distancing themselves from the truth. The truth. It was the 15th century church reformer and theologian Jan Hus that said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. May I encourage you to do that today? Encourage you to do that. Seek the truth. Listen to the truth. Learn the truth. Love the truth. Tell the truth. Live the truth. and defend the truth, even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're rapidly approaching that era, that time in the world and society, when our lives will be called upon as we stand for the truth. And I've commended that to you on a number of occasions. I have four sons, and we've raised our four sons on the basis of tell the truth and stand on the truth and seek the truth and defend the truth. And I believe that's what we ought to do today, ladies and gentlemen. Stand on the truth and seek the truth, learn the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about landscape lawn care equipment and the power generation backup equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's the home of the gigantic American flag. The flag is flying at about 165 feet in the air. And when you find that flag at the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that's dated June the 16th, 2020. Title of the article is Splinters in the Bench. It's by Tony Perkins. Tony Perkins says, and let me read a blurb or two from this to set the stage for where we're going today when we talk about defying God. And that's what the U.S. Supreme Court is doing. Neil Gorsuch, a supposed conservative appointed by President Trump, and the very reason President Trump appointed him and looked at others like that was to prevent the very thing that's just taken place in our U.S. Supreme Court. This article says, Splinters in the Bench. It's a Supreme Court ruling that would have stung no matter what. But the timing of this one, when Americans are desperately waiting for something in 2020 to make sense, seemed to deliver a much more painful blow. In a country hurting for stability, the court only brought more chaos. Instead of common sense, they brought confusion. Where there should have been reassurance about basic truths, there was only shock and disappointment. Six justices, against the laws of science and history and morality, decided to create their own autonomous zone where humanity's laws about male and female no longer apply, end quote. Further, Tony Perkins says, to most Americans, the sellout of Neil Gorsuch, who not only voted with the liberal members on the Harris case, that's the case that brought it to a head, Supreme Court hearing, Harris Funeral Homes out of Michigan. He had one of the funeral directors that had worked with him for a number of years that followed the dress code according to their handbook. One day walked in, as I used it to clarify it, and to vivify, walked in with high-heeled shoes, a mini skirt, and bright red lipstick and a wig, and says, I'm female now. And the owner of the funeral home tried to deal with him, counsel with him, talk with him, share with him that would be harmful to their clientele, that he must follow the dress code. He refused to do so, thus he was fired. Thus it worked its way through the courts to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court ruled in his favor, ladies and gentlemen. And so, further in the article, Tony Perkins says, to most Americans, the sellout of Neil Gorsuch, who not only voted for the liberal with the liberal members of the Harris on the Harris case, but authored the major opinion, will be the lingering horror in America. Even if he can't bring himself to agree that the word sex means male and female, not the left's wild reinterpretation of sexual orientation or gender identity, who will? And more importantly, what will it mean for privacy? What will it mean for pronouns? What will it mean for Christian schools, Christian businesses, public housing, adoptions, girls' sports, and baskets of major issues confronting America today, end quote. Further, Tony Perkins says, it's devastating, absolutely devastating. This is the type of activism the president was trying to move away from with his nominees. Further, in the article, it says, as the Alliance Defending Freedom, David Cortman explained on the Washington Watch, one of the most dangerous things about this ruling is that there seems to be the concession, seems to be this concession, that the law is a living and breathing document. And even among the textualists, and it's okay to change it as we go. But by that logic, you could pull any word out of the Constitution and redefine it based on today's understanding, end quote. What Tony Perkins is saying in this article, ladies and gentlemen, is that they, by fiat, pulled out in the 1964 Civil Rights Act and took the term where it's talked about no discrimination against an individual based on race, religion, or sex. And they're using the word sex and blurring the lines and destroying what God's word says. God's word says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 that God created male and female, created he them. He created a man and a woman. And he created a man and a woman to have a family, to procreate, and to continue to train sons and daughters to love the Lord. We're created in the image of God, to serve him and to honor him, to obey his word. But ladies and gentlemen, we've watched the Supreme Court now, basically, as I've used the term, defying God. The fool had said in his heart, no God. And that's what the Supreme Court just did with Neil Gorsuch, an appointee of President Trump, on the basis of being a conservative. He led the fight, led the team, followed with some other formerly believed to be conservatives, along with the four ranked liberals on the court, and made the determination that God's word is to be defied. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that had taken place? Did you know that Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court literally bypassed the U.S. Congress and by judicial fiat authorized? Let me just go down a checklist of what I call this legislating from the bench, this making of law from the judicial branch, the Supreme Court, exactly what they've done. Perhaps you have heard me in the speaking of this in the last broadcast, but I'm broadening the understanding today for us to realize how far flung this decision is from the Word of God and what it literally will do in the present and in the next several decades for the United States of America. Did you know that by fiat, judicial fiat, this authorized transsexuals and little girls' bathrooms? Did you realize that? Do we understand, ladies and gentlemen, that because of the action of the Supreme Court, this will allow perverts, pedophiles, those that are sexually dysphoric, to go into little girls' bathrooms, shower rooms, locker rooms, dressing rooms, and they can do so under federal approval, the federal law that now approves this? We're talking about what could have been called high treason from the standpoint of going against the family and faith and the future of America and the freedoms that we have in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, this is horrific. If you've got sons and daughters, if you've got a mother, a grandmother, aunts, understand the danger of it, the far-reaching implications of this today, ladies and gentlemen. Gender identity and sexual orientation, which is what they took the word sex in the 1964 Civil Rights Act. They took that word sex and broadened it to include gender identity and sexual orientation. Well, gender identity, according to the Sodomites, the LGBTQ lifestyle and their agenda, there's about 108 different gender identities today, about 108 different ones. Now, it's an impossibility. That's like nailing Jell-O to a wall. It's an impossibility to understand it and to grasp it. And then sexual orientation. Those that are gender and sexually dysphoric, they will be allowed now to use women's shower rooms, locker rooms, dressing rooms, bathrooms, and all legal. Listen carefully. If you go into any public bathroom, any business that opens its door to the public, if they have a ladies' room and a men's room, these perverts, pedophiles, those that are sexually dysphoric, can walk in either room they want to without any sense of breaking the law. Now, it is going to open Pandora's box. You realize that as a result of the HROs, the human rights ordinances, that have been passed in a number of states across America and a number of counties and city municipalities. Recently, one was passed in Duval County in Jacksonville, Florida. This federal decision by fiat from the Supreme Court now trumps all of those state, local municipalities that have passed the HROs. It puts teeth in it from the standpoint of the federal law that can come down on a business or a company, an organization, or a Christian if he violates this rule by fiat coming from the Supreme Court. And I say fiat because keep in mind we have three branches of government. We have the judiciary, we have the legislative, we have the executive. The executive branch is the president. Judiciary, the House and the Senate, they make up laws and pass laws. That's the legislative. The judiciary being the Supreme Court. Supreme Court's responsibility is to look at a law, not write the law, look at the law and ascertain, does this law meet and follow the U.S. Constitution? Now, in this case, they've not done that. They've simply by fiat legislated from the bench, but it authorizes those living the Sodomite lifestyle to sue Christian businesses if they are fired from their job. Not only does it open the bathrooms, locker rooms, shower rooms of ladies, girls, females, in the business place, the marketplace, in the public arena, and in the schools and the colleges and the universities, it will make absolute chaos out of the public school system with the bathrooms now when the schools reopen in the fall. It will make absolute chaos out of small businesses, Christian businesses, as to what they do in relationship to the locker room, shower rooms, and bathrooms. Can you imagine going into a gym, going into any place of business to use the locker room, shower room, bathroom, and finding that? This authorizes the pedophiles to prey on little girls and little boys in the bathrooms, in the shower rooms, and the locker rooms. In fact, in some of the schools, even prior to this federal legislation from the bench by the Supreme Court justices. Even some of the schools where they had already inculcated that, including Duval County, St. John's County schools, including those schools, some of the female students would wear their gym clothes under their outer garments so that they would not have to go to the locker room to undress and to change because of the invasion of the pedophiles, the perverts, and the males that were legally authorized to go into those female locker rooms, shower rooms, and dressing rooms. Ladies and gentlemen, this fiat law, where the government now makes it illegal for religious organizations and Christian churches to refuse Sodomite employees. Hear me, listen carefully. What they have done in the U.S. Supreme Court with this fiat ruling, they've taken the Nancy Pelosi and AOC's House Bill 5 that was passed in February 2019. They've taken that Equality Act, House Bill 5, and they have put it on steroids in this law, this opinion, this decision that's just been rendered by the U.S. Supreme Court, headed up by Neil Gorsuch, and his leading decision on that. We'll talk about that further in the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. But they've taken the Equality Act, which was Nancy Pelosi's brainstorm, and in it, it talked about gender identity and sexual orientation dozens and dozens and dozens of times. It was written by, written for, written with having in mind the LGBTQ sodomite community in America. It passed by 240 votes in the U.S. House. It now is Senate Bill 788. Look it up online. Google it. Look at the PDF document on that subject. Read it carefully. It absolutely sounds like what the U.S. Supreme Court did was they took the template from the House Bill 5, the Equality Act, and they developed then their ruling of this case where the sodomite transsexual had determined to sue his company and worked its way to the Supreme Court. And now the court says that the Christian owner of that business should not, could not, and had no authority to fire that employee. Can you imagine if you own a business? Perhaps I'm talking to you today, ladies and gentlemen, you own a business. You're Christian. You have rules and regulations and guidelines. You have moral standards. You have ethical values. And that individual then, on a point in time, will say, well, I'm homosexual. I'm transsexual. I want to dress differently. I have sexual dysphoria, is what I'm calling it. They don't call it that, of course. It's the gender identity. You cannot fire that person based on this new fiat ruling now by the Supreme Court. This fiat ruling, by the way, by the Supreme Court defies God and God's word about male and female sexuality. Literally defies God. It literally says, the fool had said in his heart, no to God, that God, you're wrong. We're right. We're going to make the decision for America. Yes, the government now legislates immoral behavior. It forces Christians and churches and moral society to embrace the new low standard of morals or be sued or forced to close your business or bow to the LGBTQ agenda. Schools will now be forced to allow perverts to enter little girls' locker rooms, shower rooms, and bathrooms. Ladies and gentlemen, it ought not to be so, but that's exactly what is taking place in society today as a result of this fiat decision. Here's an article that says, redefining sex expected to hit high sports, hit sports, schools, healthcare, speech. Redefining the word sex in the Civil Rights Act, as the Supreme Court did Monday, will have far-reaching consequences regarding bathrooms, schools, women's sports, and much, much more, according to Associate Justice Samuel Alito, as he had written in his dissent. The 6-3 majority opinion, written by Neil Gorsuch, said an employer who fires an individual merely for being gay or transsexual or transgender violates Title VII. Now, Title VII in the Civil Rights Act of 1964 does not say that. It says based on sex. But, ladies and gentlemen, there's a vast difference in the morals that a person chooses and the biological sex that he is born with or that she is born with. Critics, this article says, including Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel, argued the opinion departs from the clear language of Title VII and is no less than legislation from the bench. Alito pointed out that more than 100 federal laws already prohibit discrimination based on sex. Now, men who say they are women have a legal basis to demand permission to use bathrooms, restrooms, locker rooms, shower rooms that are designated for women, end quote. Further, this article says, for some, this may simply be a question of modesty, but for others, there is more at stake. For women who have been victimized by sexual assault or abuse, the experience of seeing an unclothed person with the anatomy of a male in a confined, sensitive location, such as a bathroom, restroom, shower room, locker room, can cause serious psychological harm and damage. Further, female athletes may be forced to compete against students who have a very significant biological advantage. including students who have the size and strength of males but identify as a female. In housing, colleges could be sued if they refuse to assign students of the opposite sex to a biological sex as a biological sex as a roommate. Religious groups are not necessarily protected either in this decision by the court. That's the key, ladies and gentlemen, that all of this other is bad enough. All of this other is onerous enough. All of these other aspects of it are dangerous enough. But it is dangerous to a major nth degree when it intersects with and counters our religious liberties and Christian faith. This article goes on to say, if a religious school teacher that teaches that sex outside of marriage and sex reassignment procedures are immoral, the message may be lost if the school employs a teacher who is the same-sex relationship, Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel said. In healthcare, transgender employees have brought suits, a challenge to challenge employer-provided health insurance plans, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it goes on to talk about, as regarding freedom of speech, it now could be a punishable offense for someone not to use the someone's preferred pronoun in communication. It goes on to talk about what is taking place and what took place in this. The original intent and meaning of the law is clear, and the common sense reading of sex, of male and female, is made even more obvious by Congress' repeated refusal to amend the law. When Congress refuses to amend the law, courts have no authority to rewrite the law. Yet that's exactly what happened with the majority of the Supreme Court in their decision just recently. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very serious condition in America when we find the defying of God. Now, the atheists have done that, the agnostics have done that, et cetera, et cetera. But now for the U.S. Supreme Court to defy God, to spit in God's face and say no to God and no God is absolutely onerous and very detrimental for the moving forward with the United States of America and where we're going in our society and what we're doing. It's a clear case, ladies and gentlemen, that the U.S. Supreme Court has overstepped its authority as one of the three branches of government and has by fiat legalized sodomy, and that is absolutely onerous. In fact, it goes back to, as I said earlier, of taking the Equality Act and basically codifying that and now making it part of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and saying that it is perfectly legal and authorized for the sexual perverts, those that are confused with sexual dysphoria, the pedophiles and perverts, to be able to invade bathrooms, locker rooms, and shower rooms. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. It goes much further than that as far as the detriment and the destruction of the warp and the woof that's the fabric of society with the morals, the ethics, and the values that we hold so dear as Christians. We ought to understand there's a major, major problem. In fact, American Family Association says this, activist justices triumph in their new SCOTUS ruling. On Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court bypassed Congress and by judicial fiat inserted sexual orientation and gender identity into Title VII of the Civil Rights, 1964 Civil Rights Act. It says the ruling shocked the conservatives because joining the liberal wing of the court were two supposed constitutional conservative justices. It goes on to talk about that, and we'll look at the balance of that after the top of the hour news. But ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with a very serious issue today where we're seeing the Supreme Court defying God. We're going to have 1 minute break at the top of the hour. This 1 minute break is for the news. Don't turn your dial. Hang in there. We're going to continue our thought today on Let's Face the Issues of Defying God. Hang in there. We'll be right back after about 1 minute news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.